What up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of the CP Podcast, man. I'm your host, CP, and it's the CP Podcast, the podcast where we talk about the shit CP want to talk about. If you want to talk about shit CP want to talk about, I mean, at this point, man, you shouldn't even goddamn be here. Why are you here? You just nosy. You's a nosy motherfucker. You don't want to talk about the shit I want to talk about. We got a mirror in here in all black like the Omen.
I'm back.
You feel me? How was the hiatus, man? Your lady graduated, right?
Yeah, she graduated from grad school.
That's fire, man. So. That's fire, man. Hold on, let me turn my shit down. Yeah, that's fire. That's fire, man.
Yeah, it was a good time. Everything went smooth.
Mm-hmm.
Had to sit out in the hot sun for a little bit. But
it's all good. Where y'all go eat after?
We went to somewhere called Chacha's. It's like a Mexican spot, but them tacos was hidden. Chicken tacos with the, I switched the salsa out and I got like mango habanero or something like that.
Okay.
Just
you fuck with the spice. I'm noticing that, dog. You fuck with a little spice, a little bit,
but the mango habanero is not really hot. It's like a sweet heat kind of thing.
Anything habanero, man, will have my motherfucking, Nick, I'll be on the total like, I'm sorry! I never do it again. Every time I eat them Popeye's wings, nigga, I be fucked up.
Oh, you can't eat all 12 of them.
Duh. Oh my God, man. Them bitches so good, bro. But nigga, coming out, them motherfuckers be like, remember me? It's like shitting a bunch of Freddy Kruegers, nigga. Remember me? Remember that 8-piece, nigga? Ah! All right. And then we got the homie Dewan back in the building, man. You ain't even, you know, you like a regular, man. Yeah. It's your third time. I think you're the only 3-time guest other than like Brennan and Tony.
Oh, that's what's up.
And they're
up.
Not even guests, but I'm just saying.
Oh, that's what's up. That's what's up, man.
Yeah, man.
I was talking about some goddamn eating them guys. I ain't had them Popeye's wings yet, man.
Man, them motherfuckers
gotta
go
try
crazy, bro.
You gotta try.
Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
I wish they came out with a diet wing or like, you know what I'm saying? Like something that, like, you know, like they need to drop like food the same way they drop, like, you know what I'm saying, like easy on the stomach wings and
I
want
to go back to
shit,
dog. You said no, they drop a goddamn hot that ain't gonna come out your ass hot,
dog. They need the scientists to get on that shit.
They can be shitting like
dog, we need a sector of science dedicated to making sure that the food don't burn your ass on the way out.
Yeah.
Like something gotta happen, man. What do y'all need to feed the chickens? Y'all need to get these chickens some Pepto-Bismol before y'all feed them to us. Then fry the Pepto-Bismol in the chicken.
Yeah, because like I was over here. Remember when they had that sriracha shortage?
Nigga, hell no.
They
had a sriracha
shortage. Maya talked about that.
It was a sriracha shortage. Oh, yeah, she did talk about that.
You couldn't buy it for like 4 months. And I realized for like 4 or 5 months, it was all good when I took a shit.
Oh,
and then
man.
When the shortage was over, the shit, the cover and the shits was over with too. So
what did Maya say? Everybody was so mad at her in the comments. What did she say? Well, she used the sriracha in the yams?
Yes.
Oh, man.
The yams?
Yams.
She says she makes, yeah, she puts them in there. It's like a spicy.
Well, I don't like yams, so I don't care. Yams is nasty to me.
Hey, man, everybody got to do their own thing, man.
But that sounds nastier.
I barbecued yesterday.
Oh, yeah, you do? Yeah.
I did my first rack of, I ain't never really did no beef ribs. It just took like 5 hours, but they was crazy, though.
Brontosaurus ribs and beef ribs. Them hoes taking up your whole goddamn pit.
Man, yeah, for real. No, they were taking up a lot of space. But, you know, I got like a 3-panel offset smoker, so it's kind of big, man. But, yeah, man, I did that. I did some crab legs, some...
crab legs. That's smoked crab legs is the shit.
Yeah, they go crazy. You know what I'm saying? And I got this new wood-fired garlic that I've been using on everything. That shit go crazy. I did some chicken wings, some burgers.
God damn, you just barbecuing a Super Bowl 4th of July Memorial Day party.
Man, it's just, you know, it's just honestly, bro, like... You know, like, nigga, we got to do it like we back at the crib because we the only ones out here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, like, I be wanting all that shit. Like, sometimes I want a hot dog, pause. Then I want,
I'm
you know what
you
I'm saying?
That.
It's like, so it's like, nigga, I'm unk, nigga. I got to grill all that shit up and make it. And so all of it don't get ate. You know, everybody nibble off of everything. And then, you know, when that shit over, it's over. All the crab legs be gone. Like,
all crab legs be
gone. Of course.
Nigga, the crab legs, nigga, they were snatching them bitches up like... You ever look at a kid eat a crab leg, you be like, man, you don't deserve this a little bit. Like, but
if they had crab legs out when I was a kid, we had to eat hot dogs.
Man, what?
You ain't gonna eat no goddamn crab legs. Eat
them
goddamn hot
dog
over there and don't spill a relish.
Man, what? Dog. Yeah. Straight up.
I barbecued rib tips.
Oh, you did some rib tips?
Yeah, the
How
rib
was that?
Tips.
How was
that?
That
shit was dope. Yeah, I got the little offset smoker too.
Okay.
But I did it for my parents. Because my parents, my dad, my pops get a little older.
Yeah.
So my mom was like, your dad getting. I was like, man, I got pops. Don't trip. Yeah.
So let me ask you a question. I offset smoke and I put a little bit of charcoal in the pit. Okay, cool, cool. Okay, I'm like, nigga.
I got a spot. What wood do you use?
I use the Kingsford Mesquite chunks. And then I also got some hickory chunks. So, I kind of combine them together. And then I put a couple of match light coals over there, too.
Yeah, because to keep the wood. Yesterday, I had white oak and walnut wood.
Oh, shit.
But my wood, I got a wood spot in Hawthorne I go to that got the chunks.
Yeah.
Usually, I get red oak. That's my go-to is red oak.
So, you rather just do, like, one big-ass chunk in your offset?
No, they cut them up in chunks that, too, so you put them in your offset.
Okay.
And you put a couple coals on the bottom so it stay hot.
Yeah.
And it's keeping that offset.
You know what else I've been using that's a game changer? Is them white fire starting cubes.
Yeah.
I fuck with them, dog.
I ain't use those yet.
Man, I fuck with them, bro. I'm going to tell you why. Them bitches burn. Like, so put it like this. You build your fucking pyramid of your coals, and then you just stick one of them white wax, little marshmallow-looking things down in the middle of it. Light that bitch with the long lighter. And that bitch gonna fire so crazy that it's gonna start firing up your coals so quick. You can either do it in the fire starter or you can just build you a pyramid just
and
do
I
it like
just
that.
Bought a new box of fire starter too. It's like 60 of them hoes in there. So 60 more grills before I gotta get that.
What you got? Like the little twistle tweed.
Nah, I got the 5-inch stick that's a kind of thick like that. You put it in there, you just put your pyramid in, you put it in there. Light the red end, that shit light up. And it get around, but it moves kind of slow.
Oh,
it
don't move.
It gets around, and I still use a little bit of lighter fluid around it for the outer ones.
Yeah, I don't use no lighter fluid.
Yeah. I like, some people like don't use, I like using lighter fluid. I have to because when I clean the back of the grill, I light the whole back of the grill up with lighter fluid and the grill and put it all on, because fire kills everything. And so I like all the walls of the grill up and then have that shit looking like backdraft. And to light all that shit up and just sort of.
Yeah, I'm not confident in my ability to put that out. You know what I'm saying? Like, I fuck around and have my whole little shit on the news. In other news, you know what I'm saying? But, man, bro, I'm glad you're here, man.
Yes, sir. Glad to be here.
Yeah, man. You know, and you know how we do here, man. You've been here before. I remember last time you was reading cars, and then you took me down that wormhole about that alien woman who got found on the moon. These niggas killed me for that because I thought the footage was real, and the footage was like a claymation shit, but I think it was a reenactment of a story that was never told.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But the footage online, these niggas murdered me. Like, what's wrong with you? I'm going to stop watching this bullshit. This nigga don't know what shit fake.
The real, like, that was killing me. A lot of that stuff got scrubbed. A lot of that real, those real photos, you can find them easily before 2016. It was like after 2016, they started really like scrubbing a lot of that stuff off. You know, though, and some stuff, I don't know which picture it was, but there was. The ones that were around, a lot of that stuff was around for a long time. Really, from between during that Trump administration, they scrubbed a lot of stuff off the internet. I'm not blaming him, whatever. I'm just saying during that time, 2016, 2020, it was like a lot of stuff. The Dark Knight satellite photos, all that stuff. They're not as easy to find.
What's the Dark Knight satellite photos?
The Dark Knight satellite is a satellite. If you look up NOAA and NASA, you Google it. I'm sure there's still stories about it right now. The Dark Knight satellite is a satellite that's in space, and it's just been there, and no one put it there. When we started putting space stations and stuff, they found it, and was like, Russia, did y'all throw this shit up here? Russia like, no, we did not do that. And then Russia was like, did you Americans do it? And we're like, nah.
That's how they said it.
Freaking Americans do it. Like, I don't know what the fuck they said, but see it, Dark Knight satellite, the Black Knight satellite. Yeah, I said Dark Knight. Oh, that's the movie. Dark Knight's the movie. We had Black Knight satellite.
Nigga, shit, we don't know. That nigga, we looked it up because you said it.
you see it? Right there, like that, those. Yeah, it's just, and it rotates in like an opposite direction. They sometimes try to say it was, but like nothing could have been sent, you know, no space junk, no comets are just going to be sitting here in an orbit like that. So it's something that nobody can really explain, but it has an orbit, and it also has a vibration, so they can tell it's communicating with something.
What?
Yeah.
God damn. So they think that how long has it been here?
They don't know. There are theories, but it was already up there by the time the United States and Russia started sending stuff up there. It was just there. It'd been there.
Mm.
And they call it a conspiracy theory that lets you know that it's something real to it.
God, but
it's just interesting. And the story is like, yeah, they call some people call it space debris, but nah, there's been too many stories about communication and yeah.
And so, I mean, okay, here's the thing, bro. All right, so this makes my imagination go like 9 different ways, right? So like, all right. We talk about how civilizations before us possibly had technology that we don't even account for them having, mm-hmm. right? Certain things that would take them out or certain things that would end their, like, you know, their progression into more technology mm-hmm. and it would start like an ice age and a stone age and all over again. It almost like, if let's say that it was a Big Bang, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say that it was a meteor that hit Earth. Shit like that would not affect a satellite that they had up. Certain stuff, like, you know, the hieroglyphics is just left behind. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like to see stuff that's left behind from the space program is like, oh shit. And why do we not think about that? Like, why do we not assume that they had a space program and that they maybe had the thought to send a satellite up?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And the satellite could still be communicating to some shit that we have, you know, they could have took the laptop under Earth.
Right. That inner Earth stuff is real, if you ask me.
I mean, so do you think that that's where some of the more advanced mm-hmm. civilizations, where they escaped to, where they were allowed to continue to develop over time?
The theory is that's where the Olmec went, you know, because there's certain civilizations throughout time where they just left. There was no massive war. Where you see dead bodies laying around, there's no massive casualty like Pompeo, where you see people literally running like this and frozen in volcano soot.
Yeah.
It was nothing like that. It was nothing like, you know, where they have evidence of like army of weaponry around and injury wounds on dead bodies. It's like the Olmec were here and then they were gone.
And then the Olmecs are the ones who had those big ass heads that's all around.
Yeah, the Biggie Smalls looking motherfuckers with them 1927 football helmets on.
But if you look at their face, right, very, very African American features. We talked about the Olmecs a lot on here. Can you bring up the Olmecs real quick? How you spell that, bro?
Olmec.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some shit. And so you got civilizations like theirs. There's no evidence there was no mass casualty, no mass war. They had this highly advanced civilization with pyramids, irrigation systems, farming systems, travel systems, where they traded, because you saw a lot of their civilization, you see up and down the Mississippi River, mm-hmm. another part they don't like talking about a lot. You see a lot of there's trade with those Mississippian tribes.
They also were said to be able to fly, and I know that's crazy to even say that, because, and I don't mean that their ability is in like Superman type flying, but there was accounts of them in certain parts around the world where it almost was like, are these helmets that they're wearing some type of astronaut, spaceman shit? Because it almost felt like that, like they were in areas wearing astronaut helmets, quote unquote, all around. And then of course, looking like they were originated from Africa or from African descent.
Yeah, it's like they crazy, because like I've gotten lucky in the last 2 years to be able to talk to almost like a uncle and a kind of granduncle in a kind of way, Dr. Clyde Winters. He's out of University of Chicago and he's written like over 10 or 15 books on the Olmec.
Gotcha.
And he's a retired college professor, and so just some of the conversations we'd have over the phone about these cats and what they was doing. It's amazing, and then they just left.
Yeah.
So nobody, not even him, nobody knows, did they go to space?
Right.
Did they go in Earth? Something happened to where it was just they were here, but there was no mass casualties. And it ain't no.
And, you know, my theory is that they went to space, of course. But, I mean, that's because I believe in the whole astronaut aspect of it. I also believe that they were trading a lot of their technology, like you said, with not, you know, of course, like the Mississippi Riverins, but the Aztecs, on down through South America, like they were places, and it's almost like they were teaching everywhere, because everywhere they went, they left ahead.
They left ahead.
You know what I'm saying? And so it's kind of like,
what
the fuck happened to them?
And then it might be somebody out there saying, okay, how do you know they weren't killed off. Okay, let's juxtapose that to the other civilizations that occupied that land over the last 2,000 years. The Toltec, the Incas, the Mayans, the Aztecs. All four of those, the Toltec that came afterwards, they were killed off. You see mass casualty events. There was a war and they got fucked up. Yeah. Same thing with the Mayans. Same thing with the Incas. Same thing with the Aztecs. And the Aztecs just got killed off when the Spanish came from Europe just about 1,000 years ago. So less than 1,000 years ago. So all those other civilizations that occupied that land, you see these huge graves, war wounds, records, you know, on the stones. Okay, this war happened at this time. Olmec, none of that shit. Mm. That shit's crazy.
So let me ask you a question. Where did the Olmecs originate? Where is their land?
You don't even know where they come from.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I've never known there to be an Olmec origin, only other than the fact that they had African-American features, right?
Yeah.
And so what does that remind you of? That reminds you of those, the quote-unquote alien niggas that came off of that cigar-shaped spaceship that talked to them niggas, you know, and they was like, these are some big black niggas who look like they never been conquered, say they've been in this galaxy forever,
mm-hmm.
and in this particular corner of the galaxy, they've been running it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and then because it's like, if the laws of the seven laws hold up, as above, so below, if you have on Earth colonies of people conquering other people, the same way you do in the ant kingdom, the lion kingdom, the elephant kingdom, every kingdom, even the plant kingdom. So what will make Earth any different from other planets? If it's true all up and down on every level, even right. with the plants, it got to be civilizations and motherfuckers riding through space, riding on planets like, nah, Earth is my home, is my land, homie. And then they having these interstellar wars sometimes over control of this planet. Who got Mars? Who got Jupiter? Who got... That shit got to be going on. Like, Star Wars, like, you ain't going to just get that Inception, George Lucas and all this shit. You're not going to get these vivid stories.
Wars was about? Was them niggas was trying to control planets and shit? I never watched that shit because it just, I mean, I never got into it. And I know it's funny. Like,
I was never into Star Wars either. But when I heard about the story behind it, just like I was never into Disney Pixar films.
Right.
But when you understand that all these motherfuckers, that's where they tell us the truth. These Disney films, these motherfucking X-Men films, that's what they tell us because that's what they tell us what's going on, but they make it into these characters. So,
you think
that made me pay attention to Star Wars.
Like Black Panther, for example.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard to ignore some of the parallels from the themes of Black Panther.
Yeah.
Even how in part two they brought in the Latin American vibe and, you know, kind of it was playing us against each other, then us teaming up to make sure we could. I mean, it just felt very like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like some
forced and in a lot of ways where they kind of just not only forced, but they try to tell you what it is. Like the way karma works for these people is it's like a magic trick. I have to tell you I'm about to pull a rabbit out the hat before I do it. If I don't tell you I'm about to pull this rabbit out the hat, the trick don't really work. We're told, and you can go back in history, Enemy of the State, and look at these different movies throughout time. You go back to 71, The Mac, Dolomite. When those movies came out, like The Mac, Superfly, and Shaft, those were the three directions black society went after 1971, either the pimp, the player, or the straight-laced route. They would kind of tell you these are your pathways. You know what I mean?
Right.
They tell you all this stuff through movies, and that movie Inception tells us what they're doing. The movie Inception, you got to watch that shit like 15 times. You put something in the consciousness of somebody to where they think that they thought it up themselves, and what that does, it gets them one ready for what you have coming for them. Two, when they get hit with it, you know, I told you it was coming.
And three, the way that mass marketing works, you get enough people focused on anything, it's going to generate an energy around it, right? So, you know, yeah, like that's why it's important to get a Super Bowl commercial, because all the eyes that are on the Super Bowl commercials, you have undivided attention. These are the non-skippable ads. Like, this is where the money is at. You want to make, like, what did Kanye say? He made a quick $20 million off of that little $4 million that he spent on, you know what I'm saying? Something crazy, or $90 million, some bullshit like that. It's like, bro, yeah, because there's this, there is something to say about hacking into somebody's like immediate consciousness. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's, man.
And you do it while they're laughing. You know what I mean? You make them laugh, and it's easier to accept it. Make them be entertained. That's why people be like, man, you be thinking too much watching these movies. All right, motherfucker. Only 8% of communication is verbal. The other 90% is going right to your subconscious, and you better pay attention or you're going to get played.
Mm. Let's go to the comments real quick, man, because I got my Patreon chat in here, man. Zay Nova, what up, though? God damn it.
Every time.
Golly. All right, let's do this. The AT extra... Fuck. Mm-hmm. The AT extra...
You got it.
The AT extraterrestrial.
There you go.
All right, cool. The AT extraterrestrial is in the house. My mind warps and bends and floats the wind count. Man, I don't want to hear no goddamn singing, Andre 3000 shit. Shout out to Andre 3000, though. But go on, man. Goddamn flute, man. That nigga came out with a whistle album.
I love the album, though. I met him like last month, man.
I mean, that's why you love the album, nigga. If I meet the nigga, I love it, too. But no, I ain't never met the nigga.
I liked it before I met him.
That shit be like, I be like, man, go with this bullshit. I try to listen to it so motherfuckers can hear me being deep. I'm like, man, go on with this fuck.
Man, that shit. That album make my fat ass want to stretch good enough to get into the lotus position. You know what I mean?
What?
Make me want to, so I can do that. Man, I love that album,
nigga,
man.
I don't know what the lotus position is.
That's where you can actually the monk niggas be sitting down crossing their legs. Position.
Oh, okay.
I'm too
okay.
fat for that. I don't like a ball. I don't like a meatball if I did it.
I feel like somebody come from behind you and kick you in the back. I never sit like that, nigga, because unless I'm up against a wall or something, and they come and stomp your back down, then what, nigga? Now you crunched like a roach with your fucking legs front of you like this, and you just crunched down to the ground. This nigga just beating your ass. What the fuck? What's all that shit you was talking? You like, oh shit, your legs like this, nigga. You just getting your back crunched down. No, nigga, you're like a big ass Pepsi can. Somebody just, no, but okay, wait. Anyway, under 3000. Big Shug, the trap star. What up, though? Antonio Rosa. Yeah, I know I'm the grill master, man. That's what I do.
Oh, shit.
The Zoe World TV. What's the deal? Who else? Will of a Lion. Have I been following that Terrence Howard shit? Yeah, I have, man. Yeah. We're about to get into some of that, too, man, because he was saying some shit. I didn't watch it all still. I'm just watching, like, the best parts, the highlights. You know what I'm saying? Tiffany Alexandra, what up, though? Definitely right on time. Eric D, what up, what up? Yeah, we definitely on some real shit. Angry Aztec, he said the Aztecs and Incas and et cetera didn't die off. They were renamed.
This is what I mean by die off. Just like the American Indian, the black indigenous, they didn't all the way die off, they renamed. This is what I mean by die off. Somebody came and took your shit, all right? That's what I mean by die off, either physically or by name. You're dead. If somebody comes and kills off a certain percentage of your population and renames you, you died off and you're on something else now. That's what I mean, all right?
Somebody said space, cuz. I don't know what like niggas banging in space over planets. Somebody said B.O.B. just died. Can you look that up real quick?
I don't see anything. I was looking because I saw that. I'm not seeing anything. Somebody said it on TikTok.
Calm down, man. It said he had a heart attack. Get out of here, bro.
Not seeing nothing.
If that's real, then I apologize. But, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I hope that ain't, man.
Hope it ain't. You know what I'm saying? Dave Chappelle and the goat pants from Dave Chappelle's show. D313, what up, though? Avery, what up, though? Bilal C. Yeah, man, we in here, man. Yeah, let's look that up, man. I hope B.O.B.
positive, somebody that.
Yeah, I try. I'm been looking since I saw it. I haven't seen anything at all today or anything like that. It'd be just a rumor.
Right.
I haven't seen that on Twitter or.
Yeah. Twitter, Google. It went to his Instagram.
What if this nigga's in the family? Like, I'm here right now, man. I'm just texting y'all first. We in the hospital, man. Just happy, man. The doctor just came in here. Hold on, he talking right now. Yeah, this CP podcast right here. They want to know. Did they finna break the story? That's crazy. But yeah, don't let anyone save you for later. That's what the nigga posted yesterday. Don't let anyone save you for later. Damn. Hope that's not his last tweet. Cause I don't, you know what I'm saying? That sound crazy. I don't believe that, man. I ain't seen nothing. hold on.
This nigga got stuck in my head now, dog.
That's how that shit come on. I'm like, Andre. I'm finna come out with a goddamn with a wind chime album. I'm finna just be having one of them strings. You know what
I'm saying? To that, though, that'd be some.
It's
background.
Gonna be called Bells in the Wind. You know what I'm saying? And I'm gonna be singing the hits. Bend that ass over. Let that Gucci breathe. I'm gonna have remixes. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna have features. Jeezy gonna be on my shit. You know what I'm saying?
Jeezy,
nigga. Jeezy got some dope ass ad-libs. You saw what Kanye did with Jeezy ad-libs.
Yeah,
that shit, nigga, that shit was hard. But y'all don't see shit about B.O.B., man. Stop capping, man. I got the screenshot from the news wave on Tilt Talk. Well, that's your problem, nigga. You on Tilt Talk. Nigga, we on TikTok. Finally caught alive again. Drayvon, what up, though? Come out with a Trap Tambourine album. You feel me? Nigga, I might drop a goddamn Spoons mixtape. Just...
The Trap Tambourine album.
Trap Tambourine album go crazy. Hey, I got a coworker fresh from India. That's your twin, CP. Hey, man, look, bro, if you came in here to roast Dre Vontae, you know what I'm saying, with your goddamn Indian coworker, man, fuck you and him. Both of y'all. And get back to customer service. No, I'm bullshit.
Dre Vontae, that's a security guard name.
Yeah, it is. Well, you have to ask Dre Vontae. He has the key to the gymnasium. Dre Vontae has the key to the gymnasium, and he also has the key to the snack cabinet where we stock all the vending machines. You ask Dre Vontae if we got some more crunchy Cheetos back there, because they've been going fast now that the seventh graders are getting that lunch a little later.
Dre Vontae probably the smartest person at his job, but they would not promote his ass because his name is Dre Vontae. I know my name is DeJuan, brother. I get it.
Well, I mean, but the thing is, he could go by Dre.
Okay.
Or Vontae.
Yeah.
You could go by Duh.
What?
Or Juan. You know what I'm saying?
Duh.
Who you go by Duh. Nigga, they think you an Asian nigga. Hi, my name is Duh.
Duh.
Like, oh, that's shot. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Like your Duh Choi Brown.
He said my dad got some explaining to do. My dad would be like, I did for the Indian bitch. Listen, but that ain't the point, man. She ain't tell me about him. My dad wouldn't even deny it. But anyway, all right, man. So do you have any topics today? Maya just retired, and I don't have any topics. And I just realized, I feel like you ever go over like a recently divorced dude's house? He'd be like, man, I ain't getting no groceries, man. Ain't nothing to eat over here, man. I guess,
And she dropped that news while I was gone, too. I had no idea.
I know, dog. That was crazy. I was like, damn, you can't even wait for a mirror. She said, nope, I'm out of here. You guys take it easy. All right, bye. I was like, oh, shit. Shout out to Maya, man. But this whole Terrence Howard thing.
Yeah, that's
did you see them drones that he was created?
Yeah, like with the wind chime
with the way that they fly.
Yeah.
Dog, that shit looked like some shit that we've seen. I've seen like crafts like that on like Avatar or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Where the propeller, like I've seen that in movies. I've seen like, you know, like the self-driving cars, like you said. I was in Demolition Man. They have flat TVs in Demolition Man. People don't understand that.
Yep.
Before niggas have even thought about that, Sylvester Stallone had the TV on the wall. And that's how he was talking to old girl who she came in with the titties.
Yep.
And she thought it was him, right? Then you got Total Recall, where they got the three titty woman.
Yep.
Right? Where it's like a humanoid planet, but they just slightly off.
Yeah, but that slightly, now you got genetically altered brides walking around here all day.
Yeah.
Yeah, they tell us in movies, but like Terrence Howard, he was talking about, when he broke down the periodic table, when I saw that, I was like, man.
Terrence Howard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When he broke down and doing it in a spherical form where it kind of winded around, then the analogy he used about wrapping your hand and the metals, that made sense to me.
Mm. Like, can we bring that up, or are they gonna?
Can we sort of get flagged for that?
But we could do it on Patreon, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
It was a part where he talked about, like, you know, the elements, you know, basically going in a spherical way, and how, you know, them being just basically how different elements were the same thing, but at a different octave. And being a musician, I understood that right there. And in that one interview, it made more sense to me than what I learned in school, because when you put it as a flat table, you know, that was D minus work for me in school.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't put the shit together. But the way he explained it, I was like, man, the way he's explaining, I'm thinking like, man, in my head, I'm thinking, if it was taught to me in that kind of a form where it's just, you know, iron is a different octave than carbon, whatever, the way I can't explain the way he explained it. But it made goddamn sense to me.
Yeah, that's wild, bro. So wait a minute. I'm in these comments. Zaynova said that the Ninja Turtles had FaceTime on the TurtleCon.
Oh, yeah, Master Splinter.
But see, hold on. Yeah. But a lot of people was doing the video calls. I feel like video calls was something that they had in the White House and shit like that. Way back in the... Remember Austin Powers? They would do the video calls. Like, we want $1 million. Remember that? And like little shit like that they would do. So, you know, like, I feel like everybody had the video calls. Like, the Jetsons had the video calls.
The Jetsons had that for real.
Jetsons had that.
That was in the 60s.
No, that wasn't in the 60s.
The Jetsons was out in the 60s.
The Jetsons came out in the 60s?
Yeah. My mama used to start watching that when she was a kid.
Most of those Hanna-Barbera cartoons are pretty old.
Dog, I thought the Jetsons came out when I was a kid,
bro. We were watching replays.
I was watching on Boomerang, too, as a kid. Those are old.
Bro, Flintstones. Pull that up, bro.
Flintstones,
pull that up. Can we pull it
up? All of those songs from like the
1962, if I'm not mistaken.
What? The Jetsons was in the 60s?
Yeah, it was in the 60s. Yeah, 1962.
Yep, 1962.
What?
Yeah, that was 20 years before I was born.
1962. It was in his prime in 1962 to 1963.
Yo, I swear to God.
It aired reruns with some new episodes produced from 1985 to
87. Yeah, okay. So I'm about to say, like, so...
85, 87.
I was in there, bro. I was
that
watching
my pocket of cartoons right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all so, I was watching back
okay,
then.
Okay, so I definitely saw some new. I'm like, bro, they tripping. Okay. So yeah, so it came out in the 60s, which is crazy. But then it also came out in from 85 to 87.
Yeah, they had reruns and they added some more episodes. They only had 75 episodes.
That's a lot.
That's
bro.
It.
Yeah, for that's a cartoon a lot, though. For a cartoon, that's not that yeah. much.
Because, I mean, I watched the Jetsons like my whole goddamn childhood. I didn't realize it was only 75 because that shit got me all through.
That shit got me all the way through. That's crazy. I did not know that. Well, I mean, so now, knowing that, right? The Jetsons had a lot of shit. And you're right, because that makes sense, because they thought that we would have flying cars. I feel like in the 80s, we knew that we weren't going to have flying cars.
I remember in 1987, being in school saying that, hey, we might have flying cars by the year 2000. We thought it was gonna be by 1990. It was like, for sure, by 2000, we're gonna have Back to the Future cars.
These motherfuckers is 25 years late.
New millennium. I don't think we should have flying cars.
They coming.
We can't we can't even handle being on the fucking road. Imagine being able to just roam wherever in the air.
Look at what these assholes are doing with Tesla trucks. Every time you look up, a Tesla truck is getting stuck somewhere.
What you mean?
Yeah, like, somebody left one in like Miami, right? Uh-huh. This is in the middle of like it was like an abandoned Cybertruck somewhere.
Yeah, there was like one of them got in the wintertime. They tried to go off road and they got stuck, and the F-150 had to put it out. And just earlier this week, one tried to like go through a river and that motherfucker got stuck. And they tell you can go anywhere, and them Tesla like you
somebody
see
got,
they,
I saw one. Somebody got stuck on the beach. I don't even know why you was even on the beach with that shit.
Yeah, so look at what these assholes are doing with Tesla trucks. Imagine what they do with flying cars.
Okay.
They gonna crash.
All right.
Well, I think we still should get them, but it should be a test before
Here's
you get
the thing.
One.
Here's the Jesus Christ.
All right, go ahead.
My bad. People are renting these Teslas, having never driven an electric car. I see it all the time. People, their first time driving a Tesla, they rent it from an Enterprise or a Hertz, and they don't understand how to maneuver in it. And people get stuck in these Teslas all the time. And you see it. I've seen some of my comedian friends. They like, man, we rented a Tesla. We didn't even make it. We didn't know how to shut it off. We don't know how to. It's like, it's a lot to it. I know it's a flex and it's easy. Everybody want to rent one, but like, yeah, that bitch set off in the middle of the highway. I guarantee you they ran out of power. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but that's not the situations he was explaining. It was more like they're trying to test it the way that it was promoted as a truck and they're not making it.
Yeah, they're like, it must like, you oh, go anywhere in this truck. Yeah, and so they were trying, yeah, to, they like, trying oh, to go across the river.
It. These people buying it because the Cybertruck, I don't think you can rent that yet.
No, I highly doubt. Rent them, yeah.
Where? It must be like through a person.
Yeah,
I don't think
that's what I'm saying. Not like, no, you're not renting them at like, yeah. No, you rent them at exotic car rentals. The same place that you would rent a Lamborghini, a Urus, you know what I'm saying?
Feel like it's a little too new. Like, they probably will wait.
No, they're definitely doing it, bro. Miami, I seen in Detroit. Like, niggas are renting Cybertrucks, bro.
I just...
Tim said that pointy-ass truck.
It is.
Hey, Eric D said he's seen three in person. They look like rich nerd playthings. I ain't gonna lie. I seen some of them bitches. You know, this LA, so they be customizing them bitches.
Yeah.
And I seen the all-black matte one with them crazy big-ass military Call of Duty-looking-ass mm-hmm. tires. Nigga, I want one. I do. I want one. I want two.
I was behind one on the way here, and he rusted his out.
Oh my God!
Why would he made do his that? Made it like look like straight up rust. Like, okay.
I hate people who are bitch ass niggas. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't stand a bitch ass. Like, nigga, man, just drive. You just got mine rusted out, you know? Like, oh, man, I just want to just sign people up for their annual slap. Now, come on down to the DMV so we can slap the shit out of you for being a man.
You should get lined up and slapped.
I be having road rage, dog. Jesus Christ, man. Go, yeah, fuck.
I do too. Like, I did my first live on a drive up here. Like, I've never done that before. And I was having, I forgot I was live for a little bit because people, why are you getting the fast lane driving 55 miles an hour?
Oh, man.
The fuck is your problem? Get your slow ass, bro, in the slow lane. I hate slow motherfuckers, but in a goddamn carpool lane.
Bitch,
I'm by myself.
I'm smoking in here.
And I'm by myself. I put the little Uber sticker in there, so you know.
Put the Uber sticker in there.
Yeah, because I got my back window tinted out.
You don't care how they look at you. I would never put no Uber sticker to my shit. That's making me feel like every time I see somebody with an Uber thing on their car, and you don't drive Uber, do you?
Nah.
Yeah.
I used to years ago, but I kept the stickers.
Yeah. Nah. But, you know, everybody did it back in the day. I didn't, but everybody did it back in the day. You know what I'm saying? But you know it's boogers in that car. You know.
Yeah.
You know it's a lot of boogers back there, man. People don't care. But, as soon as you turn your back, people are like, and they getting them long ones. They got a snot back
to it.
The long ones got a snot back. And they can stick anywhere.
The jiggle ones. The jiggle pop, hearts.
But they're hard in the front. That's the handle.
The jiggle hearts.
You take them and them bitches come long, like they come off your brain. And you be like, ooh, one of them. And they pop. Uh-huh. Right in your Uber, man. Y'all just be like, so where we going? Talking to the Uber driver. So where we headed? Right. This is crazy. And where do you...
Yeah. See, I had that in my... I have my back window all the way black limo tinted out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when the whoopty-whams come up, they can't see in the back.
Yeah.
And then, like, because before I get on the freeway... I throw the sticker right there in the window and little all that shit, the whole little official Uber setup. Because I know the minute I see that traffic, I'm going.
Man, when I was a kid, I used to always want to grow up and deliver pizzas. I never did it, but like when I was a kid, I used to be like, man, I probably, like to me, it was certain jobs that you could do if you just felt like it. Like, for example, like stripper. If a woman wanted to be a stripper, dog, she really just could just do that shit. Like, just go get you some nice ass draws, go downtown, get whatever little certificates you need to get, and then you're a stripper. If you want to be a comedian, you just got to show up.
Yeah.
You really just got to show up, bro. Like, it ain't even like, I mean, you know, people probably not going to like you for a long time, but you could just show up and just be like, yeah, I'm about to do comedy. And eventually they'll put you up and see what you got, and if you got it, you got it. And then you just keep going. And I think, like, but other jobs, like McDonald's, I just, like, can't nobody tell me that I can't work at a McDonald's. It's like, if I went to work here, I damn near would just show up and be like, hi, this is my first day. Ain't no interview. Fuck you interview me for. I'm working here at this McDonald's.
The funny thing about comedy is you'll see people on Facebook who quit comedy 10 years ago, but they'll still have a comedian in their Facebook profile.
Yeah, because, you know, they be the funniest nigga at the barbecue. So they be like, you know, Gerald is a comedian. Yes, he is. Yeah, when the next time you having a show? Man, they don't, you know, a lot of stage time out here these days. Man, they don't really, man, a lot of shit, huh? They get the fuck on. But no, like, yeah, Army. I feel like I should be able to go to the Army whenever I feel like
it. You should. You should.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Army. It's another one. What's the main one we were just talking about?
They're going to use that against you if a draft came up.
No, I'm just saying. Listen. I sound like Joe Biden. And not, listen. Okay? What I'm saying is, you should be able to, this is my country. I can serve it. I ain't going to be the sweetest Army nigga. I'll probably be in the back. You know what I'm saying? Somebody got to clean the cage.
Yeah, you know
what I'm saying? I'm old. No, I ain't finna be on the front line, but I'm definitely going to clean the AKs out. You know what I'm saying?
Clean the AKs out.
Store the bullets up. You know what I'm saying? I'm that nigga.
It's some kind of role for you in the Army. You could do something. You could be on the phone. You could be having the phone calls.
First of all, yes. Because you know every country have a team, nigga. We need a roast team.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That would be so funny, bro.
Dog, we go in had to have and a just translator. Like, country to country to roasting. You know what I'm saying? And we like roasting with like China. And I'm like, oh, what'd he say? And then he said, you have a gap. I'm like, I'm fucking some ass nigga. Tell him, I said, he got a big bubble flathead in the back. Bubble. And then we all that, bro, that'll be, and then we fuck around, win that war. When we win the roast battle, we kill them.
And we got a roast.
We start stabbing them. We kill them because we won the roast war. Whoever wins get the kill.
I'm with that.
You want to kill?
And then also, you got to roast that leader, too.
I just make it awkward. He said, okay, I see that.
Like, I wouldn't be the one doing the killing, but because I think whoever does the killing, we got to be able to roast their killing skills, too, though.
Nah, nigga, I don't want to hear that. Nope. You got to put a duct tape on. You can't roast my killing skills. Because if you fuck around and get a good one and everybody laughs, they can be like, let him live. Wait a minute. Like, nah, nigga, you lost. Ain't no after, because I love the roast the battle. Sometimes on the way home, I'd be like, fuck, I should have caught that nigga. But that'd be EBO.
Like, what if the killer, like, he went to go shoot the person and he missed the first shot and he had to shoot again? You can't roast his ass for missing that first shot? Man, you weak ass killer. We're going to get Devontae to kill next time.
Roast me in the car, man. Roast me in the car, bro. You better not roast me in front of these dead niggas, man.
Oh, what about roasting that leader? Like, you got to roast, like, Ho Chi Minh or some shit like that. Like, what if we got to, like, roast the, what's that motherfucker in North Korea with that bowl cut?
Kim Jong-un.
He did, ain't he?
Nah, he lied. Nah. He got that bowl cut still.
Ain't he still in the hospital or something?
Nah, he got out.
I don't know nothing about him.
You got to ask Dennis Rodman.
He's still alive testing nuclear weapons and shit.
Mm.
They just sent one out, right?
Huh?
Supposedly they sent one out near Japan.
Yeah. They did what? Shit the nuclear weapon out?
Yeah.
They shot
Wait a minute. Wait. Niggas are shooting niggas with nukes?
No, they're not shooting.
They just like...
We're paying for grapes. No, you say what? Yeah.
They test, like, they're the only country, like, countries, when they do testing nuclear warheads, they tell other countries, hey, yo, we testing this weekend, watch out.
Watch out, nigga.
Yeah, that's they do. But North Korea be like, I don't give a fuck. And they said they sent over, like, 100 ballistic missiles in the air, like, last year without telling nobody. So you don't know if they really sending one to somebody or if they testing it. Because they don't want nobody. They just be shooting them hoes. Like firecrackers.
I ain't gonna lie though, that's how I play it. If I had my own man, hey, well, we shooting missiles, what? What the fuck? You know what I'm saying? Like, man, yeah.
North Korea,
I wouldn't shoot into nobody's shit, but I'm definitely popping them bitches in the air.
Yeah, they don't shoot nobody's shit, but North Korea's the motherfuckers that get their fireworks on Memorial Day and be shooting them all month. That's them. They just be shooting them hoes.
Yeah. Are we the only country that be having our own fireworks at the crib? I ain't never seen no other country like outside doing their own fireworks.
Well, we get them from Mexico, so they gotta be doing it.
Oh yeah,
and from China, because you know you.
I don't think the regular like. I don't think regular civilians get to do it.
Yeah, I'm about to say that's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
I ain't never seen people outside popping their own shit.
But I don't think they allow like regular people because it's dangerous. It really is. They're probably like, nah, that just ain't good. Like a good look. And is it legal in every state now? Because before it was like certain places, you had to go to certain places to get like fireworks.
Man, I'm from Detroit, nigga. Yeah, we got them bitches. We lighting them hoes on fire. I'm gonna put what day of the year it is. If I found one in the closet on Thanksgiving, we all going outside.
Yeah.
Most likely it was the sparklers. I won't do it.
They are not legal in L.A. They're legal like in Inglewood, Gardena, certain smaller cities, but in L.A., but they still be lighting them hoes all night.
Man.
I know. I seen it July 4th. I was on the rooftop. Downtown, it was like nonstop. Hey,
you could see fireworks everything. Going. But the thing is, when you be on them rooftops and you be over there, people fireworks, seeing fireworks go off under you is a crazy-ass feeling.
It is.
Like, I've been on the two, like, coming back from Pasadena. You know how that mother be kind of, like, up high. Or the 134, my bad, not the two.
Yeah.
The 134 coming from, and it's like, bro, you look over that edge and you just seeing just, like the whole city be dipping like this. You just see all these fireworks. That shit crazy.
Yeah, they be... In 2020, they was going so crazy in East LA, bro. Every time I was over there, it was
Tiff said everything legal in Florida.
Yeah, like my parents live like in View Park, and so they got a view of the whole city all the way to Long Beach.
Oh, damn.
And so on the 4th, my whole like child, we just you see like the hood fireworks be better than the official fireworks.
Yeah,
and they be getting in all night.
We always get some crazy shit.
Man, I went on a road trip. I drove to Texas a few years ago. And we driving down the 10 through New Mexico, it's firework shops every exit.
Yeah.
It's beef jerky and firework shops.
Yeah.
All through New Mexico. So I was picking them hoes up.
Beef jerky and firework. My bad. All I heard was beef jerky and firework
shops. That's it. Yeah, if you ever go on a road trip from LA to Texas and you take the 10, because if you take the 40, they don't really have as much northern New Mexico. But southern New Mexico, it ain't shit in southern New Mexico but beef jerky and firework shops.
All right,
and
hold on.
Every
hold
gas
on.
Station.
Hold on. Okay, hold on. First of all, I would not trust no beef jerky. I just don't trust beef jerky, dog.
You know,
I feel like we eat the missing people. You know what I'm saying? I feel like we are straight up eating Amber Alerts, and we just like, these some good Amber treats.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, that's how I feel.
Now they got that, on the way to Vegas, they got that alien shit. The alien jerky or something like that.
That gas station that got like the aliens on top of it?
Yeah, it's in
a jerky spot.
Damn,
there.
What city is that, bro?
It's in Baker.
Baker, that's
where that ugly ass thermometer is.
Yeah, because they got a charging station in Bakersfield or Baker or whatever.
Baker, I stopped there last week when I went to Vegas a couple weeks ago, and that shit was nasty in the motherfucker, though. Because I made you think about that. I got some alien jerky.
I ain't gonna lie, I don't know what y'all talking about because I'm talking about something different.
You didn't Baker, alien spot.
You driven to Vegas before, right?
No. But I drove to Palm Springs recently.
Oh, that's the other way.
That's a different way. Yeah.
That's the other way.
That's you going, you further south.
Yeah, okay, cool.
But you sell that thing, man.
Oh, and I also drove to Fresno.
Oh, yeah, that's the five. That's 9. That's 99.
That's a different way. Fresno is.
All right, cool. I'm gonna just leave y'all alone. Next talk. Hey, but y'all see this? Vori. I don't know. Who the fuck is Vori?
I've heard his name before.
His reference track for Drake's Mob Ties just went viral.
Yeah.
You heard about it?
Yeah. I saw it yesterday, but I think I heard that before.
Let me see. Here go the thing. Okay. Fuck. All right. So the nigga goes rogue for Drake. The real one sound better than this one. Does that not count? Like
that's the point though.
The reference track
is never because it's just a rough idea really.
Oh, okay.
It's giving you the format.
Yeah.
Oh, and then it keeps going.
Yeah. It's like the whole song. But that's kind of the point of the reference track.
It is what it is, yeah. Scoot! Damn, dog. Sick of these niggas. Sia a shooter. Okay, so it's like some damn dog, and then Drake changes to hire some help.
Yeah,
get rid of these niggas. It's like, oh, it's so corporate, man. God damn it, Drake, dog. It's nothing to believe in, man.
Man,
I'm just nothing to believe in. The reference tracks be all over the place.
Drake is somebody who I've never. I remember when he first came out. I knew he was a fraud from day one.
Because
I heard Soulja Boy do it first. I saw Soulja Boy do it first. He sounded like too much like Fonte. I was like, who is this Fonte knockoff here?
Who is Fonte?
From Little Brother.
Yeah, he was brother. They worked together quite a bit.
If you go back and listen to that first Little Brother, the Minstrel Show album, you're going to hear Drake's whole tone and cadence right there.
Oh, man, I got to go brush up.
Little Brother out of Virginia.
I know, I know where Little Brother is. Carolina. I don't know where the fuck they from, but I heard a Little Brother. Okay.
Carolina, I think.
Man, and then Drake came back and rapped over BBL Drizzy. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah.
On the Sexy Red song, yeah.
So Sexy Red has a song called BBL Drizzy?
No, it's another song with a different sample. And then he was rapping, and then it just flipped to that beat for a little bit, and then it went back to the original song.
So inside his verse, inside his verse, it went to it?
Yeah.
On purpose?
Yeah, because he's trying to, make fun of it in a way, being like, I'm the guy that's supplying the BBLs. Like, I'm paying the money for y'all to get y'all BBLs done.
Okay.
So that's how he did it. Yeah. It's like, bro, just stop. Yeah, literally, just stop.
Your the pop part is stop. Just stop.
Then he was dancing on stage to Not Like Us.
Didn't see that. Don't know if that's actually real.
That might not be real.
I highly doubt he would do that.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Drake he's pop. I was saying, he's hip pop. He's never been hip hop. He's hip pop. They did with hip hop what they did with R&B back in the 80s. That shit went pop back in the 80s. R&B stopped being our music in the 70s. When the 80s, that shit went pop. You know what I mean?
Just like, I like it.
Huh?
I like Drake.
Yeah,
sorry,
it's cool. Nothing wrong with liking it.
I like
it, but
here go the thing. I like Kendrick too.
Yeah,
right. Like I feel like I can relate more to Kendrick, but I feel like Drake's music has a certain polish to it, and maybe that's intentional.
Yeah, pop. That pop polish.
Yeah, Drake isn't.
Stop calling it pop polish and making me agree to have it. yeah.
There's nothing wrong with pop. Like pop,
yeah,
pop is just popular music.
But
that's
when
really
I think of pop, I think like Michael Jackson.
But the thing was, like, even his original stuff was, like, he became pop, but his music was definitely, like, black music.
This is what pop is.
Michael Jackson.
I mean, I ain't talking about back when Barry Good, like, whatever songs you write, not the shit they made you say when you was 8. I don't consider that your genre.
No, I'm talking about Off the Wall. Like, even Off the Wall, Thriller, those are all inspired by genres of music that he grew up upon, which are black music. That became pop because he was big.
This is what you got to understand what pop is. You gotta,
it's literally just popular music. The term pop
is
the way we look
music.
At it now is because when we were growing up, hip-hop was popular, but it wasn't
the
mainstream.
Top 40, right.
Hip-hop is now the mainstream. It runs the charts.
So then that brings us right back around. And be like, is hip-hop pop?
You got
yes,
to go back.
It has turned pop.
You got to go back what pop is. Pop is, there is no genre of pop. Pop isn't a genre. Pop is whatever black music that everyone else likes. That's what pop is. Pop is whatever style of music that we create. And usually to go pop is a formula for going pop. You speed the tempo up because black people in our sauce, we like our music a little bit slower because we dance in the pocket of the beat. Other cultures dance on top of the beat. So you speed the tempo up so they can bounce around a little more. You take away the racy lyrics. You take away anything that can be edgy, anything that can be thought-provoking, anything that can be offensive, and you replace it with some more fun-loving, bring it together. You play in major chords, and you bring it. That's what pop is.
Yeah. I'm going to make a pop song then. I don't think you got to be very smart to make a pop song.
No, you don't.
The thing is there's a formula to making something that you think would be like a pop song. And so I hear that shit all the time because it'd be like, oh, I see what they're trying to do, and then it falls flat, and I'd be like, well...
Yeah,
because it's not going. That doesn't just because you did it the supposed right way doesn't mean that you're gonna make
right.
It.
That is gonna get picked up by. Yeah. Gotcha.
Pop. Yeah. The more simple you make it, you know, the pop. And then again, because if you get the right production stuff, and yeah, you get the right team, you hit the right stuff, there's something that's gonna go pop. But like Michael Jackson, The Way You Make Me Feel, that's 12 bar blues. You know what I mean? Yeah. I Want to Rock With You.
That's soul, that's funk.
That song, yeah. He did gospel. You know, he did, you know, when you listen to Beat It, I mean, I'm sorry, when you listen to Billie Jean, that's funk.
Yeah.
Just straight up. So,
for sure.
But everybody liked it. But when it comes to Drake and when it comes to like popular, like hip hop over the last 15 years, if you look at hip hop in the 90s, it was message oriented. Storytelling, things like that. Mm-hmm. When it started to get more pop in the 2000s, it went from messages and storytelling to I got more money than you. More
yeah, gangster
simple,
rap.
Yeah, more let me simple say, kind of topics.
Let me say this, though, because I think that what you're saying is a lot true, right, both of y'all. But I think that what y'all are missing out on is the fact that what Michael Jackson realized later on in his career, later on enough to still be early in his career for him to be Michael Jackson, but later on from him doing so many singing type of things, is that his voice in itself was a unique instrument that became like it wasn't funk because it was a Michael Jackson song. Like sometimes the way you, like who's singing it changes the whole thing. Like he realized that he could be on top of all of the music because everything was influenced by the way that his voice sounded. Like, so that's why he started making up his own. He didn't do this till later on, but he started making up his own syllables and using his voice because he couldn't get the sounds to be made. He couldn't get them to boom boom. So he started, you know,
feeling. He got that from James Brown. It's a feeling.
What you mean?
If it's all, yeah, that, it's all about filling the space.
Yeah, and jazz. They scat all the time.
But his voice in particular, though, the way that his voice sounds became a key component in his music. It was almost like he had his own way of singing to the point where anybody else trying to do that, you couldn't really, nobody could sing Michael Jackson the way Michael Jackson could sing Michael Jackson.
You're 100% right, but we got to go back to the that time. That was everybody at that time. That you couldn't sound like nobody else.
Yeah.
If you were to make it back then, like the reason why the Bar K's, if you go back to the 70s, they were the one of the lesser respected groups of the time was because the Bar K's never pushed the sound ahead. They never innovated nothing. The Earth and the Fire come out with a hit, then the Bar K's would come out with a hit 6 months later to sound just like what Earth and the Fire did. That was a time that if you came close to sound like somebody else, you couldn't cut through.
Right.
Your voice had to be a unique instrument.
But as unique as everyone was,
yeah,
who was successful at that time, none of them were as successful as Michael Jackson, nor were they as unique as Michael Jackson. Like, Michael Jackson still had an element in his singing when he became Michael Jackson. When he was a kid, he was a great singer, great for what he was doing, killing it on Motown, killing it, mm-hmm, and, you know, in his later teens with somebody. But I'm talking about when he became Michael Jackson for real. Nobody could do that. Yeah. But it was like in his own stratosphere of possibilities of what some shit could sound like.
He was right. See, it's that fusion of Michael Jackson and Quincy Jones, because Quincy Jones equally is as powerful, because I realize it's the same Quincy Jones. When Frank Sinatra's career was dying off, he went to Quincy and Count Basie to get his career back. Mm-hmm. Quincy Jones got Ray Charles some of his biggest hits. Ray, mm-hmm, Charles did every goddamn genre known to man. Mm-hmm. Ella Fitzgerald. You go down the list of, music titan, the titans of titans. Quincy Jones produced or arranged music for them. Yeah. So by the time he got to Michael,
yeah, he was
35 years into saving careers of legends, you know, and working with Count Basie, the god of gods of music. And so you had that, and then you look at the team.
But hold on. Don't mull over that, right? Because that's like, so what happens when an excellent, amazing producer, mm-hmm, comes across a talent with a voice that's unmatched. I'm gonna give you two. When Dr. Dre met Snoop Dogg, mm-hmm, it was like there was a thing in Snoop's voice. There was a way that Snoop rapped that was just the Snoop rap. When Dre met Eminem, mm-hmm, there was a way Eminem rapped. There was a way his voice, now granted, you are correct. Like, here you have niggas who have made music before, mm-hmm, they got with Dre. Or, you know, niggas was rapping. Kendrick, mm, was rapping. Mm. He got with Dre. He has a voice.
Producers, man, everything.
You know what I'm saying?
Producers are like, Michael Jackson more responsible because, like you say, his voice is so great. But a producer can oftentimes be 99% of a reason of a hit. You look at like a lot of hit music now, you have not particularly talented singers doing it, but that production, the way it's, yeah, put together is just
producers
so great.
Producers and the engineers.
The producers and the engineers, they the one. And so when you deal with, like, we look at that, Quincy, Louis Johnson on bass, George, mm-hmm, Duke, Joe Sample on keys, Wawa Watson on guitar. If you look at the roster of musicians, you're looking at the titans of titans of titans at every single instrument, background singers, I mean, James Ingram singing background, all that stuff.
He's bringing out the best in the
people. But that's what I'm saying. Because Quincy Jones did that for Michael Jackson, and it's not Michael Jackson and Quincy Jones, the way that, even though Quincy got all the money and all the accolades, and even though it's not Quincy, like, I feel like that's the reason why producers started taking the credit that they did. Because I feel like you it's Mariah Carey and JD.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's...
Well, we know it's JD because JD would get on the song.
But that's what I'm saying. Quincy wouldn't do that on some of the biggest songs ever.
That's just not the style. That's also not the generation for when that
was. I feel
you,
but what
happening.
I'm saying is, like, there was also not a lot of recognition in, like Quincy Jones was too cool to really, like, later on he got it. Like, later on it was like, yeah, Fresh Prince, you like Fresh Prince? That's Quincy Jones. You know what I'm saying? Like, Quincy Jones was
it's the ego. Like, a lot of time producers are really, they don't like the spotlight. You know what I mean? That became a thing of the night. Like, my father-in-law.
Go ahead.
He's a producer. He produced Michael Jackson's early stuff. I'll Be There, that stuff. He arranged and produced that stuff. And I asked him about 10 years ago, we was watching something with Kanye West. And I asked him, I was like, did you ever want to have your face out there like Kanye does, like Pharrell does? He said, you know what? I thought I did. And this is around the time he produced Brick House for the Commodores, Zoom, all those hits.
Yeah, goodness.
He's official, you know. So tens of millions of records, hundreds of millions of records with Lionel Richie. And so I asked him, I said, so did you want to do that like Kanye? He said, I thought I did. He said, I hired a publicist for about 6 months. And he said, everywhere I went, I couldn't eat without somebody asking me about Michael. Just with him being with him doing so much music, you know, the dance breakdown on Dancing Machine, he wrote that part, you know? Mm-hmm. And people knowing that he was associated to Michael, he said, I couldn't get any kind of privacy. But I say that to say, he's like a lot of producers I've interviewed of that time. These are the geniuses of geniuses. They hear something and they'll write a full score down of the string parts, the horn parts. These aren't really public people. They're really to themselves, socially awkward, into the music kind of people. The people who ghostwrite for the people, the producers that we see. They're socially awkward people usually.
And usually because growing up, I wanted to be a rapper. But as I got older, my parents was like, producers are the ones that, behind the scenes, they always get more splits because the artist is usually in some kind of crazy deal where they got to pay it back. It looks like they got it all. Producers usually bring in 50%, at least 50% on every song that they work on or anything like that. So it's always been a thing, like, producers be like, oh, they seem like they take the background or whatever. It's like, because it's not really, you don't have to be famous in order for you to actually make the money. The artist is usually the one that's struggling the most.
But I think that when we talk about fame, though, you talk about a certain visibility that pays it forward to people in your craft, right? And so, like, you know, because Kanye championed being a producer the way he did, the way that he took pride in it, created a whole generation of people who felt like, you know, because a lot of times when you do have talent like that, you're surrounded by motherfuckers who don't.
And then
there's nobody there to help you to really focus in on that. You see no light at the end of the tunnel. Most of the people in our community are really teaching their kids how to be more money driven than dream driven, right? And that's like a survival. Just like you just said, your parents was like, rappers is cool, but the producers. And that's true. But the bottom line is, as a kid, this the nigga that looks cool. Not the nigga who run around with a keyboard and a hard drive. Mm-hmm. Remember when Kanye snatched that tape on Pump?
This
is my footage. And he was running with it. Bro, like,
funny enough, that was the guy I was looking at.
Yeah.
That's the time period for me.
But that's what I'm saying, though.
But this was before he was... I knew about Kanye before he was a rapper.
Okay.
But that's me having a production background.
Right.
Like, with both sides. Like, oh, rapper's cool, because I wanted to be Bow Wow. But then Gangsta Rap was really taking over. 50 Cent and then shit, and I'm just like, you know...
The fact that you want to be Bow Wow,
what you see. Yeah. I know, right? It's funny. Because it's only human to want what you see.
Yeah.
That's why you need people around to say, hey, there's something over here, too. Yeah. And then oftentimes, when you see that something over there, hey, actually, I like that better. But you wouldn't know, because music is one of the biggest illusions there is out there. People really think it's like Empire. You walk into a studio, a beat's already made, and I'm going to sing it to it, and it's a hit.
That's That's how I would do it, because I mean, but I'm that kind of nigga though. I walk in like Michael Jackson, be like, I'll be like, that's the beat. Hey, yo, turn me up, turn my headphones down. You know what I'm saying? I'm going crazy. But that's just me though. You know what I'm saying? But I do feel you though. I think that, like anything, man, it's so much work. I remember like when I was in college, I used to hate writing papers.
I still hate them.
Right. Mm. I used to hate it, right? And then now I'm a fucking writer. Yeah. And it's like, bro, I'm writing 100-page papers a lot. And it's like, it's like, man, I never made myself fall in love with writing. Like, I thought that I could cheat the process by being creative and never having to put my fingers to paper, but that's not how it works. I have to get in there and roll my sleeves up because people, you know, like, I have it in my head. I can't convey it to you other than any way. And I'm the reason that, you know, it's like my creativity is what is driving a lot of my projects. So I have to be the nigga on it. And so it's like, I feel like when it comes to like certain shit like this, I think that there needs to be an element of, I would do it even if I didn't get the shine, right? Or I would do it, unfortunately, even if I didn't get the money. Because I think that I would do it even if I didn't get all the girls. Because, like, money and shine and pussy and all of that get thrown at the niggas who not even thinking about that. Most of these niggas who make it to the NFL, NBA, you looking like John Morant. He's talking about how his dad kept him away from girls. You got to be so focused to be one of the 4,000 people who, like, the NBA been here for a long-ass time. Them niggas don't even, they dress crazy because they don't even, they wasn't thinking about dressing. They was thinking about playing ball.
Yeah.
You know, so they don't know how to talk to girls. They weren't thinking about girls. They was playing ball. And so, like, you know, those things, all of those things that are the fleshly things, they come at the in the victory. And it's your decision whether or not you want to two-peat, three-peat, repeat your shit by saying, nah, I'm going back in to focus again. And nah, I don't need a, you know what I'm saying? But like, those are the outliers. And I don't even know why I said all of that, but those are the outliers that are the people that separate themselves and really create that, like that true shit. Like, that's why Kanye's weird. That's why most of celebrities be weird. And people say shit like, oh man, Hollywood motherfuckers is, bro, this is where the weirdos are at because they're good at one thing that pays them a lot of fucking money. And to be good at that one thing, you had to sacrifice a lot of the things that everybody thinks is regular.
Yeah, people, like, gotta understand, like, yeah, like, you got, people are not heroes, you know what I mean? It's like, they great at a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that means they're really bad at other things.
Yep.
And usually the greater somebody is at something, most of the time, the worse of a human being they are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you hear stories about James Brown and stuff that he would do.
Man, what?
How he didn't pay nobody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He would go around doing all kind of stuff, you know what I mean? He would, you know, but he came here to Earth to give us the funk. And that's what he came here for. Everything else, the people who had to deal with him, hey.
Those stories are few and far between, but the stories of his greatness and what he came here for.
Everywhere. It touched the earth.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So it's like, baby, look, man, people be wanting everybody to be a saint and everything. Like, nah,
ooh,
like.
Ooh, that's a word, though, Duane. Because people want everybody to get the karma, too. Yeah. People love watching somebody, quote unquote, get what they deserve. Yeah. What you don't understand is that, like, this person, y'all karma's not even set up the right way.
It ain't set up the same way.
Like, I mean the same way. Yeah. It's like, bro, like, this person is going to go through what they go through, and it might not ever look like struggle to you. It might not ever. Like, you might want them to go through it because they quote-unquote hurt you. They might not ever go through it the way that you want them to. And you got to go on and live your life. Because the real shit is that if they hurt you, then who's to say that wasn't you getting karma from hurting somebody in the past life or some shit like that?
Right.
It's like, why would you even come into contact with a motherfucker that would hurt you? And it's like, I hate to, like, bash victims because I know that's a crazy thing to say because it's taboo to say it. But if we bringing up karma, then we can't act like we always are on the giving end. Like, you might literally be on the receiving end of the karma that you very well believe in, but some shit that you're not aware of the fact that you did.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you believe shit like that, then it's like, dog, you got to believe it the whole way. If that's your thing.
Or some shit you know your ass did, but you in denial and trying to say, what's this about? This ain't fair.
Yeah.
No, the karma going to hit you where it's going to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
Same with the next person. That's why you can't look at the next person like, why ain't they getting theirs? if they are to get theirs, it's going to happen in a way that's going to hit them. That you may not necessarily see it, and you should be cool with that. But, like, yeah, the people just, you know, I don't.
Sometimes karma just don't happen.
Yeah. But that's the thing. You think it doesn't, Amir, but think about it like this. The same way that there are billions of people who don't exist, who could exist, whose sperm just didn't make it to the egg and that person just didn't come. It's like, dog, like, think about how big Diddy could be if he was a good person. Like, see, like, the karma is the fact that he only has 1/1,000th of the gifts that God had in store for him had he passed said test and did certain things. Like, we looking at somebody who's so blessed that they hell look like a blessing to us. We watching this nigga beat that girl, but how many girls was like, man, I want what Cassie won. Cassie like, bitch, I want to get the fuck out of here. This nigga made me shave half my head. It's like, what's crazy is, I think that we can't even quantify how good things would be for us if we were to, number one, mind our fucking business.
True.
Two, focus on literally the good things that we have to offer, and just leave people alone and not be mean to people. Like, literally, like, just let people be. Those three things, I think, would catapult life in ways that we have no idea. Mm-hmm. Just those three things. Mind my business, focus on what I need to focus on, and then treat people right. Mm-hmm. If you did that, bro, like, and I'm talking to myself, like, I think those are the building blocks of true happy life, not success. Success happy. Is just a piece of a whole life.
That's relative.
But a happy life, to be happy with yourself and everything that you have, is to do your best. I think that a lot of our jealousy, a lot of the bullshit that we deal with is all wrapped up in us knowing that we're not our best self. Because if we was our best self, nobody would be able to play with us because we would not allow that. If we was our best self, we would not be down on ourselves because it's like, dog, I'm doing my best and I know I'm doing my best. I'm happy with that. If we was our best self, we would be able to forgive ourselves and we would be so, way more lenient and soft with ourselves. But instead, like, bro, like, we live in a self-hating society. And it's like, watching people hate themselves less than you hurts.
Yeah, it does.
You know what I'm saying?
That's real talk.
And so it's just like, it's one of those things where it's like, man, nobody is at fault. Everybody is dealing with their own shit. And you have to look at it like that and free yourself from the bondage of judgment.
Yeah.
Because it's like, that's such a heavy thing. Imagine telling yourself that your job on earth is to do what God does.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, imagine telling yourself, man, my job is to do what God does, and that's judge motherfuckers, and think that I'm better than... It's like, bro, it's like, just live, dog.
Just live.
So, wait a minute. Before we even... Because I know we running over our hour, man, but, you know, I appreciate you coming, bro. But before I let you get out of here, man, you know, I got about 14 people in here. I know I got about at least a good 9 or 10 in the chat who would love a good DeJuan birthday read. If we could do that, man.
I can get a couple of them.
You know, that's my shit. You know what I'm saying? Can I tell y'all something before we start this? What do you think about this, Amir? This is a conspiracy theory that I came across recently. About how, everybody put their birthdays in while I talk about this, and then I'm gonna go back and get y'all birthdays. Mm-hmm. All right, so oh snap, Tiff, I just read that. Thank you for that, man. I appreciate that. You said it's cool how CP makes being a comedian look so fun and easy, but he also has no problem breaking down the discipline that it takes to be successful. Man, for real. Eric D, man, I appreciate you, bro. I feel like we all needed it, man. I think this is like a powwow energy.
You know I called Diddy's court case a month before it happened.
I know you did.
Yeah.
I know. And you told me a lot of shit was going to be unveiled this year.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So I definitely want to hear some more about that.
For real.
But, shout out to Eric D, birthday in the week, June 3rd. That's lit. A couple birthdays coming up. Zoe World birthday coming up. That's dope. All right, so look. I see all y'all birthdays. Keep putting them in here, and I'm going to promise I'm going to scroll back through. But it's a conspiracy about how Christianity is really at the heart of it, sun worship. Mm-hmm. And what it is Jesus is the sun, right? It's the only thing that belongs to nobody, so it belongs to God. So they call it God's sun. That's God's sun. Mm-hmm. The way that it rises, mm-hmm. and the way that it, well, it really just, it doesn't fall for anybody. It just keeps rising for mm-hmm. everybody.
Yeah.
It just keeps rising. It, you know, the life that it brings, it's burning. Mm-hmm. It's literally dying. It's literally sacrificing itself so that we can mm-hmm. have life and everything like that. And then when it comes back, we gone. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like,
the sun, it is sun worship. Like, because when you look at Christmas, the 25th, the sun reaches its lowest point in the sky December 21st. And it's at the winter, when we turn solstice, when we turn into it, and then it starts to rise again December 25th, and all the way through the summer solstice. So even the story of Christmas is the story of the sun going down, and it's the story of the sun rising again from its lowest point, the birth of the sun. So yes, it's truly a sun story. All this stuff, all the religions, Christianity, Buddhism, they're all tied into the sun, either the sun or the moon. Some of them are tied into Saturn, but they're tied into celestial bodies, all that shit.
All damn. Of them.
And when I read them cards, everybody got a card in every planet, and every planet has an aspect of your personality. If I would do a simple sun card
reading. Does that mean that every planet having an aspect of your personality means that if you were to go to that planet, this is how you would be perceived?
It's probably the consciousness of that planet. Not so much how you perceive, the consciousness of it. Like, okay. Saturn is the planet of justice. It's the planet of parameters. If I read somebody's Saturn card, I can tell exactly how far they're willing to go to get whatever they want to get done. Mercury is your communication, how you talk, how you live your day-to-day life. So your Mercury card tells me what makes you... It tells me if you talk a lot, if you don't talk at all, if you talk funny, if you talk conservative, if you can talk in a unification way, or if you have a seven of hearts in your Mercury, you probably start a lot of shit. But if you have a jack of diamonds in your Mercury, you probably talk a lot of fun shit. You know, so your Venus is how you dress. Your Mars is how you deal with confrontation. You know, so each planet can show how you deal with that particular aspect of your life.
Got you. Okay. All right. Cool. Well, I got some birthdays.
All right. Give me one.
What do you need? Just the day?
Just birthday, yeah.
All right, cool.
Like the year or the?
Just the year and the month. I'm not that year, the month and the day.
Month and the
day?
Yeah,
day of the month.
Okay, cool. We're going to do ours last.
Okay.
Let everybody in here. Okay. So shout out to Zoe World TV. We're looking at July 10th.
7/10. All right, yeah.
Eight.
He a five of diamonds, so he's somebody that goes, he has roller coaster emotions. He be hot and cold. He's all over the place. Be up and down. And he got to watch out for his temperament getting in the way of his money. Because anytime his money's gotten funny, it's because his temperament gotten away from it. His temperament is something that he really got to watch out for. But he's somebody that once he learns his, he's probably a good salesperson. Probably talks a lot of good shit. Probably somebody that can sell water to a well, ice to a snowman. Them five of diamonds people are some good ass salesmen. So if you ain't in sales, nigga, and you need some money, go sell something. You are going to make a lot of money doing that stuff.
Okay. All right, this nigga about to start selling dope. His whole BMX story about to start right now. Like, hey, you know what, cuz? I do need that little pound. It's time to get down. All right. Zaynova, up next. He said, hey, look, hold on. Zoe World said, hey, he low-key right. I be spazzing, and I work in sales. Damn, that's crazy. All right, so y'all see. All right, cool. Next up, Zaynova, man, September 14th.
September 14th?
That's 9/14.
I know that off the top of my head. I know. That birthday, 10 of clubs. That's somebody that, you know, speaking of music, they're probably good with music on the production side of the game, though. They behind the scenes. That's card is talking. They're very wise, but they got to avoid, very smart, but probably very pessimistic, too. 10 of clubs people be pessimistic like a motherfucker. They smart. They geniuses. They really good at, they're very creative. They see things, but arrogance gets in their way. They got to actually do it. Sometimes they know they can do it, so they'll just sit back and be like, yeah, I'm going to get that done, and then not get it done. So avoid getting too arrogant, you 10 of clubs motherfucker, because you're real smart.
Mm. Okay. Okay. So you hear that, Zay? That's dope, because Zay be chilling, man.
Yeah, like, she's smart, probably smart as hell. Like,
Zay a dude.
Them tend to close people, like, they sharp. They'll see it before it happens.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So, all right. Big Shug, make sure you put your birthday
minute.
In, bro.
Yeah, last minute. Yeah.
April 8th and then February 20th.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Next up, we got Tiffany Alexandra with April 8th. Let's go.
4-8. Oh, King of Diamonds, business. You're very, you know, very smart when it comes to business ideas. You just got to make sure you got a confidence is your biggest thing. If King of Diamonds is confident to pull off their ideas, they're going to go for it. Confidence gets in your way. If you lack of confidence, gets you hella frustrated, and you don't, you can take direction, but you better off being in a position where you can kind of whoop-de-whamp your own way. You can take direction, but not too goddamn long. So make sure you position yourself in a position where you can be given orders, not taking orders, because it's going to be hard on you if you're taking orders the rest of your life.
Tiff, you too spicy. That's what he's saying. You got the spiciness. All right. Big Shug, the trap star. February 24th.
February 24th?
Mm-hmm.
That is Ace of Diamonds. That's somebody that could be very selfish, very alpha self. But that's actually, it's not bad to be alpha self. You got to be alpha self. You're also very smart, always looking for knowledge, always looking for a way to make some money, always in the pursuit of getting it. That's why, and so... They will, Ace of Diamonds people will, look, if you get in their way, if they see a goal and they want to get to it, anybody getting in their way, you might as well get the fuck up out the way, because he ain't going to take them kind of people. Jay-Z's an Ace of Diamonds. Mm. You don't, Ice Cube's an Ace of Diamonds. You don't get in their way. You just, you know, if they on a path to something, get out their way, because they're going to get that goal. The biggest thing for them is avoiding frustration, because they can get real frustrated with the process. Real frustrated with how long it takes, and they can just flip and get mad and fuck it all up. But if they don't flip and get mad and see it through to the end, yeah, you probably got some really dope ass business ideas that you got to go through with, for real, for real.
I like that, man. Damn.
Them diamonds, anybody, if you were diamond sweet, yeah, your job is, those are the business kids. Those are the ones who go out and get the value. They the ones that go, they the ones that, That go out and get it. If you're a club, you're mental. You see it. You think it. You write it. You feel it. If you're a heart, you feel it. You express it. If you're a spade, you kind of, you know, you're a little bit of a combination of all of it, but you more so on the experience side of it. And so every suite has its own thing that it focuses on, and every number tells me what its focus is on.
Oh, okay. June 3rd.
June 3rd, I should know that off the top of my head, because that's my uncle's birthday, but I don't know that off the top of my head. June, also my parents, and that's my, Ace of Spades. Oh, that's somebody, Ace of Spades people, y'all are interesting, because that person probably got a nickname or another name that they go under. They conceal their intentions, usually because something happened when he was young in teenage years, or even younger than that, that made them kind of hide behind things. And so you don't ever know what an Ace of Spades is thinking. You might not even know their real name. They'll walk around with a whole different name. You'll think that's their name. And that they're like, no, that ain't their name. Their name is Dexter.
Damn.
You know? But very smart, very spiritual. Very, very spiritual. But this need to hide is something that comes out, and you start to grow through that as you get into your 40s. You're going to find that you ain't got nothing to hide from. But they generally do kind of hide behind and conceal their intentions, not because they bad or evil, but because they're sensitive, very sensitive.
Got you. July 18th.
July 18th. Let me see here. 7/18. What card is that? Oh, another 10 of clubs. But you're a 10 of clubs. The other person was a 10 of clubs, Virgo. So that person was a little more selfish. This is a 10 of clubs, Cancer. So that means they're sensitive. That means they probably talk a lot of shit, very bad. They probably, you know, can put together some words, probably very funny too. Probably somebody that's engaging, but at the same time, very sensitive. But again, that's another car that you gotta be creative. Them Temple Club people aren't, if you're not expressing your creativity in a certain kind of way, that's where you get angry and bitter. So in order to avoid anger and bitterness, make sure you're being creative in some kind of way.
They want you to get a towel. They say, get this nigga a towel. All right. So we got one more from the chat. Man, everybody's saying that is too real. Will of a Lion, 8/14.
8/14. You a Leo. Oh, Queen of Clubs. Okay. Very judgmental as hell. Like they hold a high standard. Queen of Clubs person. Is it a woman or a man?
I think it's a man. Will of a okay. Lion.
Oh yeah. Lioness. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Cause Queen of Clubs, your biggest thing is you gotta make sure that you write your own way. You're not following the program is cool, but you gotta really create your own pathway. Cause if you don't create your own pathway, you're gonna be frustrated as a Queen of Clubs. You gotta write down and you gotta be very intentional because you're another person that, you know, that's really talented, sees a lot, but you got to write down your pathway because you do have a lot of ways you can go. Whatever your intentions are with people, whatever it is you want to get out of something, write it down and make it plain, make it clear, and read that shit because that's what's going to help you with your focus. And don't be so judgmental. Biggest thing for you, don't, because Queen of Clubs, Leos, they could judge themselves. They judge themselves too goddamn harshly. Don't judge your, because the more you judge yourself, the more judgmental you're going to be towards other people. And the less you're going to get out of what you got going on. Like, let that shit go with other people and focus on yourself. You're going to be dope, doing some dope shit. Them Quentin Clubs people, man, they be like, this motherfucker here. I be like, dude, chill.
That sound like me, duh. Man, goddamn. Okay, wait, February 3rd?
Okay, let's see. February 3rd, 2, 3. Nine of Spades. Oh, yeah, Nine of Spades. This person's had a tough life. That's a tough life path to live is a Nine of Spades. A lot of disappointment. A lot of people around them disappointed them growing up. A lot of disappointments. Nine of Spades people, your biggest success in life comes later. If you, I don't know how old you are, but if you're in your 20s and 30s, man, don't even trip. You know, Nine of Spades people start to really, their 40s, into their late 40s is when they start to really see their biggest fruit come. Before that, it's a lot of disappointment, a lot of work that fell short, a lot of things that you worked towards that somebody fell out, and it would be shit out of your control. Your biggest thing is to avoid being overly pessimistic. Take everything that happened to you in your past as a lesson, because you're supposed to get the wisdom from your past. Take that shit as wisdom and then keep pushing, but don't give up, because it'd be easy for Nine of Spades to give up, and I understand it, because that's one of the hardest life paths to live. Damn. So if you're not in space, keep pushing.
Janae, man. Go ahead, my bad.
Yeah, if you're just saying, just keep pushing. That's it, because they're smart as hell, wise too. Smart and wise. Just, yeah, beyond your years, you're wise.
Hey, y'all, we all going to chat. We all going to check up on Dejanay and make sure that we, you know what I'm saying, that let her know that we here for her, man. Mm-hmm. For real. She's 34, so we got about 14 years. Till you get rich, I'm gonna want a couple dollars. Nah, this bullshit. All right, cool. Do 319, man. I always be forgetting what my shit is.
319. Oh, four diamonds values. You know, for you, like that. Four diamonds is a card that, you know, is solid. You know, grounded foundation. That means a lot for you, for four diamonds. Got to be stable. Got to have your shit right. You're not going to be sitting around, you know. Some people can live off barely making it by, and they're comfortable in that. You know, everybody got to go through the ups and downs. But four diamonds, your shit got to be straight. You know what I mean? Foundation. You know what I mean?
You ain't bullshit.
Yeah, that shit got to be straight. Then once your shit's straight, you can do everything else. Very, very, very big on four diamonds. Also, the big card for that is writing things down and strong belief. When you believe it, like, you can get there. Now, your shadow card is a five of diamonds. Everybody got a shadow card, too. Mm-hmm. Everybody, because you have your sun card and your shadow. Like, when they say good versus evil, your good side, bad side.
Yeah.
And your card, I can read that good and quote-unquote bad side, too. The five of diamonds side of a four of diamonds, that's a card that can get antsy. It can get frustrated. Like, when you can get frustrated, it can be wanting to do a lot of different things. It can be always ready to go. And but you know, sometimes you can see movement and see, you know, the antsiness is a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. It's just that that's the other side of you that's there when you get too settled. Because if you don't have that other side of you that's antsy and quick to move, you just be stuck.
Bruh, I'm so impulsive.
But yeah.
But I think that what's crazy about that, man, is just like, you know, I feel the need to, it's just everybody is you know, everybody's depending on me. So I got to make sure that it's like, you know, we comfortable today, but what about a year from now today? What about 5 years from now?
Mm-hmm.
And 10 years? And, you know, where is it going to come from? And it's like, are we just chilling? Y'all niggas just chilling?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's like, and niggas be like, CP, sit down. Right, nigga, fuck sitting down, nigga.
What's wrong
with you niggas, man? You know what I'm saying? It's like, I think that robs me and the people who love me of seeing me have a lot of joy, because it's not... Like, bro, I'm living, like, the dream that my parents knew I've had since I was a kid to be this.
Yeah.
And then they also watch me be like, but why are you not happy? And it's like, I feel like Kobe. Like, nigga, is the job done?
Yeah, you know.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, that's such a... To watch your teammates celebrating with champagne and happy to get a dub, and then you knowing that your legacy is to get five of these. And you can't... You know what I'm saying? Like... You know, like I had to apologize to my mom, because it's like, she was like, I want to throw you a open house after you graduate. And I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm like, and she tried to do it anyway, but I didn't invite none of my friends. I'm like, no, I'm good. Like, this ain't, you know, like, it's just, it's not, I'm not rich yet.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know what I'm saying? Like, being at the bottom of the totem pole is something that I'm never going to be comfortable with.
Yeah.
And every totem pole that I get on, pause. God damn. You know what I'm saying? But like, every totem pole that I come in contact, and you know what, fuck it, every level that I'm at, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, for me, it's like, I worry that I'm never going to have enough, and I worry that it's, you know what I'm saying? And I think that's why I fall into these, like, these hobbies. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I'm so quick to pick up a new hobby. I'm doing this. I'm collecting this. I'm bird watching, whatever the fuck it is, like, because it's like, bro, my brain don't have
no chill
at all.
Because like the once it's like one as a four of diamonds, once your foundation is built, you're in a constant worry and a constant mode of solidifying that foundation and expanding that foundation, because part of your life path is to come here and provide a foundation for other people, something solid. That four of diamonds life path. So the key is, because your challenge card, I can see what the challenge is, because you have a king of clubs in Mars. And the king of clubs is a card of financial worry. And that's in your Mars card. Your Mars is your planet of challenges. And but it's funny, your Jupiter card is a jack of diamonds. That's it. The jack of diamonds is the court jester. And Jupiter is where your rewards are in life.
Right.
So that literally shows a lot of your rewards.
The more I do comedy, the more my life opens up.
Yeah. I'm sorry, that's on your God card. That's one of the other cards. But on your sun card, back to your sun card, four of diamonds, the whole slowing that right there, your Mars and your Sun card is actually of six of clubs, and that what that comes down to is that's balancing thing, having balance. You have a tough issue balancing things out.
Yeah,
and balance is a hard thing for you to find.
I be all in.
Yeah,
all in on everything that I like. Yeah,
and so but what challenge doesn't mean permanent obstacle. It just means the thing you got to get through to get to your rewards in life, and so. When you find that balance, it all that means is it's harder for you than others to find balance. It don't mean you can't find balance. It just means that's part of your life path for you to learn, for you to figure it out. So right now, you should just be in the part in that mindset of figuring out the balance. And then once you somewhat figure it out, get to that area of contentment. Like, I'm not where I need to be, but this day, at this time, I'm a rest. And I'm going to give myself that. Then tomorrow, I'll get back to it.
All right, man. I really appreciate it, bro. Amir, you want to throw him yours or no?
Yeah, we done it before, but 324.
Yeah, I remember we did it before.
At 324.
He just got deeper on mine. Shit, I'm about to go up into a corner and just like.
324? Oh, yeah. You're also a queen of clubs, but your queen of clubs is coming right there. Oh, yeah, an Aquarian. So you're a queen of clubs, but you're not as rigid as other queen of clubs people as far as the judgment with others. You're a little bit more accepting. You can work with other people, but you can only work with people on a principle level. You know, you're not going to just, you have a certain level of principles that even though you can work with other people, you can't work with everybody. And you'll see something happen and you'll be like, yeah, no, I'm good. You know, or you can't work under the circumstances that other people that's going to dictate your every path. You have to have a lot of autonomy within what you do with other people. Mm-hmm. If you can't have that autonomy, ain't no money that's going to be worth it for you to take it. And so for you, again, for you, Queen of Clubs, be very clear about your goals. Write them hoes down and look at them and then look at them because, you're somebody that, you know, the Queen of Clubs' ultimate job in life is to write the rules. You have the ability to dictate your path the way you want to dictate it, but you got to write it down and you got to know that you can do it your way. You can't say, I'm going to do it this way. Then somebody else come and say something and you be like, oh yeah, that's where you get fucked up. The biggest thing is once you write it down, sticking to it and being pigheaded about it. Because if it came from you, that means you can do it.
Mm. Sound about right?
Yeah. somebody just 125.
One January birthdays. 125. Let me see here. You are at club probably. Two of diamonds. Two of diamonds, that's working with people. That's the card of the negotiator, you're somebody that you have good negotiating skills, you know? You're good at contracts. You would be probably a good project manager. So you're the person that if a job needs to get done, put it in your hand and you'll get all the pieces put together. Two of diamonds is a person that, you know, you want that person on your team if you got a team. Mm-hmm. That's the person that's going to work with, that's the person that's going to get the job done. Now when it comes to their own shit, they might be slacking sometime. That's where it can come into, you know, they got to watch out and find that balance. But if it's something that they take serious about organizing, they're the best, very talented with business, very talented with finance, very talented with putting projects and putting things together. So that's the biggest thing with them. Their shadow card is the Three of Diamonds. And so that means that, you know, on their bad side, they don't mind starting some shit. That's a person that if you want them to be cool, because if they ain't being cool, they'll come out with that shadow, and that Three of Diamonds shadow will start some shit on your ass. So that's a person that's cool until they're not cool. Mm-hmm. When the men become not cool, I don't want to be their enemy.
Got you. All right. And then my mom watches this every week, so we got to do Mom Deuce, mm-hmm. man. Do 723.
Okay. Let's see here. 723.
I got you, Mom. I know you was like, you better do mine. You know, I'm not going to not do yours.
You know, that Five of Clubs, that's that secret of enlightenment. That's somebody always on that path to learn. Always on that path to know. Always want to know more. And the minute she knows something, she's on to something else. Probably has a hard time settling down on any one thing. Once she figures it out, she figures things out pretty quick, too. Once she figures it out, she's probably on to the next thing. Probably very witty and funny. likes to travel. Likes to be in different places. You know, likes to, like, go places. And, you know, probably she don't let grass grow up under her feet. You know what I mean? Guy likes to see things, you know, like, busy. But at the same time, busy and very, very clever. But once she decides to focus on something, she knocks, like Five of Clubs people are very extremely talented, man. Like, but it's just so goddamn hard to get them to focus on anything. And that's how it is with all the fives. But the fives is mental because their minds is just going. But when they do focus on something, man, it probably comes easy and she probably does execute things flawlessly when she does decide to focus on things.
Damn, dog. That's wild, man. I hope all y'all hear this, man, and just like, oh, like, you know, this was meant for y'all to hear today, man. Wasn't nothing too heavy, you know what I'm saying?
It's always
the questions, never the answers, man. But, man, bro, sometimes you can just get deep without even getting deep. Sometimes the deepness just comes in just understanding the basic principles and values, man, just how to live our life. What I say our three things was, we're going to mind our business, we're going to focus on our business, and we're going to treat people the right way, man. That's the three things, man. Y'all do that, I guarantee y'all next week, y'all going to be talking to me like, CP, my life was better this week, man. I'm going to do the same shit. So we all going to report back. Anyway, man, this has been another episode of the CP Podcast. My dog, Amir, as always. And then DeJuan, man, hey, you know you got an open door policy, man. We want you back at least once a quarter, man. We need these, man. It's going to be the same birthdays, too.
I'll come back. And y'all check out Microphone check. I'm in there doing dropping music history and the microphone check. A new movie just came out with Tariq Nasheed on History of Hip Hop. I'm giving History Hip Hop on that. Go to DeJuanB.com for all my everything that I do is on DeJuanB.com. At DeJuanB on YouTube, my podcast, my readings, book breakthrough, all that stuff. Anything that I do, you just go to DeJuanB.com and click on one of them tabs and it's going to send you there.
Mm-hmm. Hey, speaking of, to the brother Tariq Nasheed, first of all, he showed some love to me on his podcast after I did his show.
Oh yeah, we did the comedy show. Man, yeah. You ripped that motherfucker too, boy.
For real.
And hell yeah. Hey, man. And the feedback I got was that nigga at the NCP, man. Everybody, you had everybody laughing at that one.
Man, I appreciate that, man. And also, man, we did you went on the show, but you was there. Fucking, how crazy was that, man? Cole and Gina was on my show the other day. You was there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was dope, man. Cole and Gina hit with the stage, bro. So for Martin, if you watch Martin, Tashina, I mean not Tisha. Tashina, but Tisha Campbell, because I'm saying Tashina, because you know, I know you know Tashina too. But Tisha Campbell and Cole Payne, Carl Anthony Payne. Yeah, that's my dog, man.
It was a surprise because I had just seen Tisha recently. She's at my show.
Okay. So he told me that. So what happened was when Carl came, he was like, yo, I'm going to go up, but Tisha about to come.
Yeah.
And she wanted to do some stage. They went up on stage and really performed.
Yeah.
And so I got a chance to hug Gina. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That joke you said when you...
Hey,
I went on to my wife that you a fool for that shit.
No, but you know why I said it. You saw the joke she did.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. You know I had to get on Gina's ass in the
that
best
shit
way possible.
Was funny than a
in the best way possible. But man, dog, I be wanting to be that next Martin, bro. And I be looking at like, man, just how to, you know, like, just like, man, just getting that dope. Her telling me, like, you are just too funny. Like, dog, yeah. But you knew Martin. That's crazy. Like, not like he ain't dead, but I'm saying he dead. But I'm just saying, like.
But that's Martin.
Yeah,
that's
bro.
The person that we all, like, the way that motherfucker made us laugh, man, our whole life. Bro. And if somebody associated with that said, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want, that's all I want, man, is just to be as funny as the people who I looked up to as funny, man. Anyway, yeah, we out here. Ooh, June 16th, House of the Dragons. You already know I'm on it, man. Game of Thrones coming back. Yeah. Get about to be some cousin fucking dragon riding, hooting, scooting. Hey, we out here, man. Peace.